what the Bible says about Jesus, that's just a stitch-up by the crooks who run the church. The reality is much more sinister, with lots of secrets and murder and codes and sex and all that kind of thing. Well, according to the BBC review, the film is long and dull, the script is clunky and cringeworthy, and the key characters are dry, uninspiring, and stilted. Yes. They panic. Go and see Narnia again instead. It's much better. That's what I like to hear, that kind of review. But 50 million people plus have bought the book. Walk past any book store and you'll see that book and other similar ones on sale. And quite a lot of people imagine that that story is based on truth, historical discoveries, not on fiction. And that's just one example, of course. Whether it's scientists or historians or sociologists or celebrities or your mates at school or even ministers in church, you hear people saying one way or another, the Bible, so what? Just an old book. Why rely on that? Well, a famous preacher once said that he would never try to defend the Bible. He might as well try to defend a lion. There are some obvious questions about it, of course. Where did the Bible come from? How can we rely upon it? That sort of thing. I'm going to touch on a few of those questions as we go along, but not all of them. Now, I've covered that sort of thing before from this pulpit here, and you can get the notes or the sermon from that before. And after this evening's service for the youth groups, there's a question time afterwards, so you can ask that kind of question then, and I'll do my best to supply some answers. But in this section, I want to try and let the Bible speak for itself and look at four ways that the Bible talks about itself to see, help us see why we can take it seriously, the effects it has on us. There are four pictures in the Bible I want to draw our attention to. The Bible says that it's like a rock, that it's like a hammer, that it's like a sword, and that it's like a light. So we start of all, first of all, with the idea that the Bible is like a rock. It gives us a solid foundation on which we can rely and build our lives. And that's what Jesus said about his words. Here's a quote from him. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house upon the rock. Ah, you say. Now that's Jesus talking about his words. And we're talking about a book called the Bible. How do we know that the Bible does tell us the truth about him, his words that we can rely upon? How do we know it wasn't a stitch-up by the crooks who ran the church in the early days? And anyway, most of the Bible isn't about Jesus, is it? I mean, it's just a small part towards the end, two-thirds of the way through. He never wrote any of it himself. What about all that Old Testament? What about all those letters that came afterwards? Well, let's deal with the second half of the question first. Although most of the Bible was written before Jesus ever arrived, it was, consciously or subconsciously, looking forward, looking ahead to him. And he fulfilled it. So Jesus himself said that, in a sense, it was all about him. On the road to Emmaus with his disciples, he showed them what all the scriptures had to say about him. What's more, Jesus Christ himself took the Old Testament very seriously. He relied upon it. We as Christians who follow Jesus rely on the Old Testament because we know that Jesus relied on the Old Testament. The letters that come later in the New Testament are looking back to Jesus and what he did. And Jesus himself had promised that the Holy Spirit would help the disciples to remember and write down what he'd said and done through his life. He said they would be inspired to get it right. They wouldn't be controlled like robots, but he would work through their thoughts and their words and their emotions and their memories like living pens in his hand to say what God wanted said by them. That's why Christians call the Bible God's word written, even though we know full well it was all written down by human beings. So you can rely on the Bible just as well as you can rely on Jesus himself. You see, ultimately it's God's word coming through that. At least that's the theory. But you ask, how can we actually know it's true? How can you know that it isn't just a stitch-up, like the Da Vinci Code says? Well, there's at least two ways you can go about a question like that. One way is to go looking for evidence to prove that the Bible is unreliable or reliable. One way of proving that the Bible is unreliable is that you could try to find all those documents that never got included in the Bible because they said something different that the people who ran the church didn't want said. People have suggested it was like that for centuries. Oh, look, they say, here's this book we found in Egypt somewhere or something like that. It proves the Bible is a fraud. But time and time again, it quietly turns out that there are good answers to the problems and the questions that raises. And that's the sort of thing we can go into afterwards, if you like. But of course, anyway, that approach can't actually prove it's reliable at all. All that could show is that there isn't any reason to disbelieve it right now, that you're not stupid to believe it. So here's a second way to go about it. Suck it and see. Try it and see. See what happens if you do actually trust and build your life upon it. See if it lets you down or not. You see, most of the people who say you can't rely on the Bible have never actually tried it for themselves. And they like to make out that nobody with a brain ever possibly could. But the evidence today is that they can and they do. There's millions upon millions of people all around the world. And in spite of all the criticisms, in spite of all the complaints, in spite of reason after reason being put forward to say that you can't rely upon it, they do. And for centuries, the Bible has been giving intelligent people willing to believe it a firm foundation that they can rest their lives upon. In 50 years' time, you will not find anyone who says they built their life upon the Da Vinci Code. In fact, you probably won't find anyone who can remember what I'm talking about, what we're talking about. But you will find people, if we're still around then, who rely upon the Bible and build their lives upon him. The Bible gives you something that you can rely upon, somewhere to put down your roots in a changing world. And don't you feel that you need that in a world that's so uncertain and mixed up? Your word is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens, says the psalm. And it's like a rock, a foundation you can build upon. Try it and see. Second picture, if I can find it, the Bible is like a hammer. It sorts out the rubbish, Jeremiah 28. Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord. That's another picture we can go. And like a hammer that breaks the rock to pieces. This is God talking to a prophet called Jeremiah in the Old Testament. Now, at the time he's speaking, there are other prophets around, false prophets, talking impressive-sounding nonsense. It was all dreams, really. But in the end, God's words are going to show what's what, like a fire that burns up the rubbish or a hammer that breaks stone. There we go. Sorry, Claire. Did you notice? Remember that. You see, there's a lot of rubbish about. A lot of nonsense. Our world is trapped in a web of lies and caught up in a prism of untruth. And God's word is like a power that breaks and demolishes the false ideas that entrap people.
We're getting to the third picture. God's word is like a sword. It's not a sword that you use to attack other people with. Have you got a sword here, Tom? You have. Yes. But it's not the sort of sword that we go out there and attack each other with. It's back here pointing at me. And it says in Hebrews and chapter 6. Oh, and chapter 6. The one on the screen. Read the one on the screen. The word of God is living and active. Sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of our hearts. So the third reason to take the Bible seriously is that it shows you the truth about your own heart. Do you like reading about yourself? I remember the first thing I did too when I got connected to the internet and somebody explained what a search engine does. I typed in my own name. Now, I didn't get the same results as Tom, but isn't that what everybody does? We like reading about ourselves. Now, apparently, Tom is, amongst other things, a minor movie actor, a corporate executive in Ohio, and a watercolour artist specialising in racehorses. The Bible, so what? It's all about you and me, that's what. Here's a way that you can test how true it is. You can't go back in time to see whether it tells the truth about Jesus, but you can hear what it says about you and see if it gets you right. One of the main reasons that made Tom realize that he had to take the Bible seriously was that it stuck a sword into his heart. It analyzed him. And he will tell you about a particular verse that struck him in Mark chapter 7, where Jesus says, "Nothing that enters a person from outside can make him unclean. What comes out of a person is what makes him unclean." Now that was Tom to a T. He'd had a good upbringing. He'd had good examples and moral models and instruction. He knew what was right and wrong. He had no excuses. Nothing that happened to him made him unclean, yet he found that attitudes and thoughts and actions bubbled up inside him all the time. It came from within. Like a sword, it exposes our own failings. So the third reason to take the Bible seriously is it tells us the truth about ourselves. At least if we're courageous enough to learn the truth. Many people not, are they? And so they reject it because it says things they don't like about them. And one reason that theories dismissing the Bible are so popular is that they give us a great excuse not to believe the awkward things about ourselves. Maybe you're afraid about the truth about yourself. But if you're really seeking after the truth, then the truth about yourself is one of the most important truths you need to learn. And you will find it in the Bible. The Bible, so what? It's that rock that can build a life. It's the hammer that smashes the lies. It's the sword that divides the heart. And finally, it's a light that shows us the way to go. And we've got one here. And I don't know how to turn it on. Imagine it switched on. Psalm 119. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And the thing about the Da Vinci Code and all the rest is that they might entertain you at the cinema, but when you come outside, they've got no light to light you home, have they? All these criticisms and insinuations, they sound plausible, believable. But do they help you to live? Not one bit. In fact, all they do is increase the confusion and the certainty of life. If you've got a moral dilemma, or you want to know what your priorities in life should be, or if you're confused about your relationships, you won't find the help out there. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. If you really want to know where to go with your life, what to do with it, you will find the light of the word, the maker's instructions, the best place to go. And the light that shines brightest of all is Jesus. Being a Christian is all about Jesus Christ. He's the light that shines in our dark world and into our hearts. He is unique. He is different. He's the one and only. If you want to get out of the darkness of a world without God, you need to come to him. The single most important thing that any one of us can do is believe in Jesus and follow him. If you haven't ever done that, Think about doing it tonight. If you haven't ever thought about it, think about it now. Jesus is alive. He died and rose again to pay for your sins, to wipe them out, and to give you a new life. He's the one you need to know, the way you need to go. And how is it that you can meet and know Jesus? Is it about feeling him in your heart or dreaming him at night or imagining him in your head? No. The way to meet Jesus for sure is to read about him or hear the stories read about him from this, his word. We only really know anything about Jesus at all because it's written here. The light of the world shining up from the light of this page. It's all about Jesus. And if you say the Bible, so what? You really mean Jesus, so what? Well, read the Bible, listen to it, meet him, and find out.